Hello friends, Paul White here. Thanks for joining me today. On Good Friday, this DDP is airing on March the 29th, originally March 29th, 2024. Good Friday, the Friday of Holy Week, the day. It's a new day, a new shirt. Sun's shining beautifully here in South Carolina. You can probably hear the background noise. There's someone mowing a lawn nearby, and I thought, well, I need to record. I want to record. Should I wait for the guy to finish mowing? And I thought, you know what? People mow in the real world. Jesus died in the real world. Let's do the DDP with someone mowing. So enjoy the beautiful sounds on what for us has been transformed 20 centuries later into a beautiful day. Good Friday, but it's only because we know the end of the story, and it's because we know what Jesus was doing, or at least we think we know what Jesus was doing. I would say that if your theories or thoughts about the cross are singular, as in, oh, I can tell you what Jesus was doing on the cross, and then you just say one statement, I don't know that we've yet to really have a great revelation, if that's where we end, because the cross is doing more than one thing. It's doing a lot of things. It's doing a myriad of things. And our life's journey as students of the Word and as disciples of Christ is to mine out some of those beautiful things that the cross is accomplishing. Let me read for you today two verses from John 19. These are so appropriate as far as I'm concerned for Good Friday. Verses 17 and 18. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. What a phrase. Jesus in the center. Jesus at the center of the Golgotha scene. A great allegory for Jesus at the center of all of our scenes. Jesus at the center of what's going on that day. When we place him at the center, we find clarity. That's probably a good statement for life, right? When you place him at the center, you find clarity in one way or the other. The cross is a scandal. There's no way around it. And when we try to clean it up, we do ourselves a disservice. We Protestants, we like crosses. We like it as necklaces and art and tattoos, and that's fine. We don't get as much out of crucifixes, I've noticed, which is where there's a body on the cross. And I know my background was, well, we don't put a body on the cross because Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. But I think we lost something in doing that. We lost a sense of the grotesque, and we lost a sense of the pathos of the cross. Maybe we need to go back to crucifixes occasionally, at least have them in our awareness, because seeing him dying there, watching him dying there, making it an active part of what the cross is and what it's about, helps restore the scandal. And by scandal, I truly mean a scandal. Paul uses the Greek word scandalon to describe the cross, because it's a scandal for you to follow someone who died on a cross, because criminals, thieves, strangers, the accused die on crosses. But sometimes the innocent die on crosses because they're stepped on by empire. They're crushed by the system. They're ran over and forgotten. And so the cross is a scandal, and no person in their right mind follows someone who died on a cross. Now, of course, we know that we have the resurrection coming up, but don't clean it up in an attempt to make it palatable, and don't hang other things on it. Jesus belongs on that cross. We don't belong on that cross. Soldiers don't belong on that cross. People who sacrifice their days and their time and their life don't belong on that cross. They're not dying as sin. They may be dying nobly, they may be dying with honor, but they're not dying as sin. Jesus goes to the cross, and he does a lot of things. Jesus goes to the cross to show us the love of God. It's God showing his love. In fact, you could say that everything about God is on display at the cross. Jesus becomes sin on the cross so that we might become righteousness. Jesus carries our griefs and bears our sorrows on the cross. Whatever hurts us, wounds us, hurts and wounds him. So it's a place by which he can vicariously carry all the things wrong with us. Calvary is where Jesus defeats death. He steps into death. He takes death willingly into himself so that he can overcome that which has been a bane to our existence, death. Calvary is where Jesus has his victory over the devil. It's where the prince of the world is cast out. It's where the head of the serpent is crushed. Calvary is where Jesus identifies with the death of the innocents, those who have been forgotten and stepped on and wronged and misused, mistreated, and abused. Calvary's a ransom. Calvary's a sacrifice. Calvary is both ugly and beautiful. On this Good Friday, let's remember the ugliness of the cross so that we can be impacted by it and so that we can know that God underwent all that ugliness to show us how beautiful that he is. I hope that you have a great day. I hope that you are in celebration mode and you are in awe as we head into this Easter weekend. More tomorrow from Holy Saturday. God bless.